This is Daf HaShavua, Shir number 3 for Daf Pei Zayin. We're on Pei Zayin in Maseches Chulos. We're on Pei Zayin in Beis, about 13 lines down, where the Gemara says, Iboilu. So, new Shaila. Iboiluhu, Pogemes Ksuvasa Be'edim Mahu. So, here we have a case where we were spoken about a woman who says, oh, you paid me part of the Ksuva, and the husband said, no, I paid you the whole thing. And then she says, no, you only paid me part of it. So, then we say that she takes a Shvua. We had a Machlokas whether that's a Shvua Doraisa or a Shvua Dorabanan. Here we have a case where she's Pogemes Ksuvasa with Edim, which means she says, I received partial payment of the Ksuva, and she says that she admits it in front of witnesses, and the husband says, oh, you know, but I paid you the rest of it. I paid you the whole ksuva. But that's something he does without witnesses. Take a look at Rashi, Iboiluhu, Rashi, Pogemis Ksuvaedim, rather. It's about 15 or so lines into the thin lines. His kabalti money, I received a money, let's say out of 200, I received 100. Umifne edim kabalti, and in front of edim, I received that amount. And witnesses are testifying to that. But the husband says, no, I paid you the whole thing, but the husband does not have edim to say that he paid the whole thing. Ma, what's the halacha in this case? So, meaning, why should this be different than another case? Normally, we require the woman to take a shvua, that she doesn't owe the rest of it. We mention the fact that, oh, maybe it's a modi b'miksas, and then Rava says, no, it's not a modi b'miksas, it's not a shvua d'oraisa, it's a shvua d'rabbanan, as the Gemara said above, because we assume that the person who is accepting the money, the woman, is not so medayek, but the person who's giving the money is medayek, so the woman has to take a shvua. But here, I have edim that are saying that that's the amount of the ksuva that she received, and the husband who doesn't have edim is saying, no, I paid you the full thing. Ma, what's halacha? Im isa de para, be'edim hava parala. Do we say that if it's true that the husband paid her back the whole ksuva, whatever was remaining, let's say it was a 200 zuz ksuva. He says he paid, I paid the full 200, and she says, no, it's only 100 of the edim say I only 100, so be'edim have a parole. So he would have paid back with witnesses. So therefore, and if there were no witnesses that can testify that he paid the full amount, so then we don't believe him, and she should not have to take a shvua, and he should have to pay the full ksuva, and he therefore should have to pay the extra 100 zuz. Or do we say, no, it's not like there were edim who saw the first amount that was paid that the husband paid, and therefore we should assume there should be another pair of edim for the rest of it, and if there aren't, he obviously did not pay. No, the edim happened to be there. It just happened to be around to watch the first payment. It wasn't that he went out of his way to make sure there were edim who watched him pay part of the ksuva. If that's the case, so maybe it's just an occurrence that they happened to be there, and therefore we should not take into account the fact that he didn't have edim for the extra amount, that he's not telling the truth, and maybe she should have to take a shvua. And this would be a classic case of pogemis ksuvasa. So tashma, so let's come and learn and see what the answer would be. Kol hanishboin, we have this brisa, and this brisa is in Shavuos and Daf Mem Dalid, and we had this a little bit in the past. Kol hanishboin, but Shabbat Torah, nishboin v'lo mishalm. And the general rule is that anyone takes a shvua doraisa, it's a shvua where you take and you're not going to pay, right? That's the classic case. Modi b'miksas, the person's claiming, oh, you owe me the full amount. No, I only owe you partial. I don't owe the whole amount. I owe you a little bit. So it's, should we take a shvua that you don't owe the rest? So that's a nishbon v'lo mishalman. It's shvuas hashomrim, same thing. I take a shvua that I wasn't negligent. I don't have to pay. So that's the general shvua d'oraisa. But the elu nishbon v'noltim and the following midrabanon are going to take a shvua, and they do take money because it's a shvua d'rabanon. These are cases where you swear and you collect money. What are they? Hasochir. So that is a person who is a worker. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, let's go through the Rashi before that. Mi amrinon iisa de para tfei de edim have a para. If he paid more, he must have, then he must have paid with edim the hadak, the kaisi edim le piron manakama, because for the first 100 zuz the husband brought edim. So I should assume that he should have brought, if he really paid the other 100, he should have a pair of edim for that as well. Odil Malavin Shem Didaku. Nah, not because he was so careful to make sure they were Edom there. Ella Isramuye Israme. The Havu Edom Hazam have to be. Edom happened to be the Bahu Yozimin at that time. Okay, next Rashi. They swear and they collect money. Why these people are an exception and they swear and they collect money. So here, next Rashi. Amar lo tein li schari v'hu omer nasati. So you have the person who's a hard worker. He says, "Oh, pay me the money." And the employer says to the employee, "You know, I paid you already." So this is a case where the sachir takes the worker, takes the shvua, and he gets to collect, and the Gemara there assumes it's because the person, the Baal HaBayis, is so busy, he doesn't pay attention to the person who he paid, and maybe he didn't pay him, but the sachir knows very well whether he got paid or not, and therefore we believe in, he takes a shvua, and he gets to collect the payment. Nigzal is also on that. Zvaha Nigzal. So Zekar Rashi Nigzal. Ra'u Shenichnas Beveso. So let's say Shimon. Reuven saw Shimon go into his house. So Amar lo Tainli Kelai Shenatalta. And Reuven says to Shimon, "You walked into my house. You stole the kalim. The kalim that are no longer there. You obviously are a thief." V'omer lo Natalti. No, I didn't take anything. V'edim ro'u sheyotza v'hakelim tachas kanfei tali. So the edim saw this guy leave, Shimon leave, and there were edim. There were kalim that he had underneath his cloak. V'lo yodama. They didn't know what it was, but they saw that. So in this case, it's the nigzal who gets to swear that indeed, that these are, it was stolen from him. Reuven gets to say, "Hey, Shimon stole stuff from me," and he will get paid. Shimon will have to pay. And v'hanechbal, person who was wounded, was injured. Next Rashi, hanechbal ra'u shenichnas l'soch beiso v'yado shalem. So you have a case that Shimon came into Reuven's house and his hand was perfectly okay. V'yatza chavul, and he walked out. His hand was all cut up. Amar lo chaval tobi. So Shimon says to Reuven, "Oh, you wounded me, you injured me when I came into your house." Amar lo chibalti, no, I wasn't me. So in such a case, we allow the nechbal, the victim here of this injury, to take a shvua, and he collects the value of the whatever payment. Another case where someone takes a shvua derabanan. This is where the person who's supposed to take the shvua is, we suspect that he's going to lie. We don't trust him. So therefore, we give the opposing person, the opposing litigant, the ability to swear. Next, v'chenvani al pinkaso. Another shvua. This is a storekeeper regarding his ledger, regarding like the notebook where he writes everything. People who pay, who they paid on credit, whatever he puts down on his ledger. Look at Rashi. This he writes in the credit. This is what he writes in the ledger. Oh, this person told me to pay his workers this amount. When I sat to them, and I pay them. Now this guy owes the chenvani money. They ain't omrim lo natalnu, but the workers say we never got paid anything. Shneim yishbar v'notam hemenu. So the halacha is that both the chenvani and the workers are able to swear to this guy who claims that to have paid the chenvani in order for the chenvani to pay everybody else. And the chenvani gets to swear, so the workers as well, and this guy has to pay them. Next line, next person on the list, where there's a shvua midrabanan nishbayin v'notlin, v'hapogem shtaro shelo beidim. Person is, and this is important because this relates to us, what's a pogim shtar? Who impairs the shtar? This is like pogim suva, where you have a case where someone admits to have paid that money. Some of the money was already paid. So here's a malva. Malva has a shtar that the lova owes him $1,000, and he says, "Oh, the lova paid me back $100 of that." So, and but there are no edim. Meaning, look at Rashi. No Rashi on this. So this is very similar to our case. Here's the Mavis says, "Oh, I got partial payment," but he says there were no witnesses who were there to say that I received a partial payment from the Lover. Now you would say, "Well, he should be able to collect. He wants to collect the money, and maybe he should be able to collect without a shvu. Why? He has a shtar." But the Chachamim said, "No, unless he swears he didn't receive any, he wants to collect full payment. He should be able to, because there are no Edim that say that the money he was already paid part of the money, and he has a shtar that says he's owed $1,000. So he would say no. The Chachamim say he can't collect unless he swears he didn't receive the full payment. If he says he didn't receive a full payment, so then he's able then we allow the Malva to collect that money. Meaning here, this Malve, he's admitting. He says, well, there are no witnesses that I received partial payment, but I'm admitting to the fact that the Lovet paid me $100, but I want to collect the other $900. So the fact that he admitted that money was already paid, maybe the whole thing was paid, so therefore, there are no witnesses at all, so therefore maybe we should say, oh, well, he has a document, so he should certainly be able to collect the rest of it. So the answer is no. Obviously, there's an argument here. The Lovet is claiming that he paid the whole thing. So if the Malva wants to collect the extra $900, the halacha is that the Malva has to take a shvua, and then he can collect the $900 that he's asking for. So the Gemara points out here the following. You see from here, so this case of pogim shtaros shelo be'edim, where the Malva says that I'm poking, I'm impairing the shtar, I'm saying that part of the money was already paid, but there are no edim. So shelo be'edim in. This halacha applies where there are no witnesses. So then he has to swear he didn't receive the full amount, and if he doesn't, and only then will he get the other $900. But be'edim lo. But let's say that partial payment of the $100 was made witnesses. So then that implies that the malve does not have to swear that in order to collect the extra $900. The edim are there, and the edim say, oh, we saw what we saw. $100 was paid. So what do we assume? We assume not only $100 paid, and not $900. So the Malva will not have to swear to collect the extra $900, because we assume that there were Edim only in the first part, there should have been Edim on the other part. So now, what do you see from here? It sounds like from here that we wanted, what's the halacha by Pogamis Ksumas of Edim? What's the halacha regarding where they were Edim for the first part? We assume that there's no need to take a shvua if there are only Edim on the first part and not on the other part. So the same thing here. We assume if there were Edim only for the first part, then the Malveh, well, it takes the case of the husband. The husband should have brought Edim for the other part. So here we assume that there were no Edim, that the only Edim that the Lovet paid the $100, and he doesn't have Edim that he paid the other $900, so the Malva should be able to collect, well, without Edim, the other part. And the same thing, the woman should be able to collect the other part of the Ksuva without Edim, and should not have to take a Shvua. So that's our proof. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof at all. Lomi Bai Kamar, meaning the Braisa could say, Lomi Bar means it's not necessary, it's not only this, but even this. Meaning the Braisa is saying this is not a proof at all. Lomi boy be'edim, it's really the reverse logic than what we thought. It's not necessary to tell me where the lover brought edim. There are edim who say that $100 out of the $1,000 is paid. So divadai tzricha shvua. That's not where you wouldn't need a shvua. That you definitely need a shvua. Where there were edim for the first start, the malva certainly needs a shvua to collect the rest of the debt. Why? Because take a look at Rashi. Devadai tzricha shvua, says Rashi, al hashar. On the rest of it, the Malva has to take a shvua that you owe me, that I swear you didn't pay me the rest of the $900. You know why he's admitting to the first $100? Not because he's a tzaddik. Mishum Eidimu. Because the Eidimu say that the $100 of the loan, already paid $100 of the loan. He's not like returning a lost object and being a big tzaddik, so that vada needs a shvua. Avol, the Gemara continues, Avol shalobe edim, where there were no witnesses, I would have thought to say to have a kemesha vaveda v'tishko below shvua, maybe I would say you don't need to take a shvua. Kamash malan, that even in the case where there are no edim, you would have to take a shvua, but you certainly need a shvua in the case where there were edim. So therefore, this is not a proof, and if anything, one could argue the other way, that this proves that the case of Pogeles Ksuvasa, you could argue the opposite way, that it's a proof that a shvua indeed needs to be taken when there are edim for the first part. Says the Gemara, Yibaylahu, HaPogemes Ksuvasa, Pachos Bishavar Putumau. What's halach if the woman is Pogemes Ksuvasa by claiming that, oh, Part of the ksuva, yes, was paid, no doubt. You, my husband, paid me part of the ksuva. You don't owe me the whole thing, but it was paid, pachos, in increments. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, pachos, mishave pruta, about 15 or so lines before it gets wide. Bimane, shehi modelov, shekibla. What happens? She admits, you paid me 100 zuz already, 100 dinar of the ksuva. Osimo cheshbon, and she makes the following calculation. Kach nasate the beyond ploni. The kach beyond ploni is the amount you gave me on this day, and this on this day. Umitstarfim cheshbon. And they join together to equal eventually that 100 zuz that he paid out. Afilo pachos, mishave pruta. Even cases where some of those payments were less than a pruta along the way. Does she need to take a shvua on the rest of it? So the question is, why would I think she would not need one? So the Gemara says, "Mi amrinan kevin de kardaiko kulei hai kushta kamra." She is so precise. In fact, she even knows when payments were given was less than a pruta. So she obviously is telling the truth that this amount was paid and that's all. Meaning the husband says, no, I paid you the whole thing. She says, no, you paid me only this amount. I'm admitting to that. And guess what? This is how you pay me. This amount this day, this amount this day. Maybe she must be telling the truth and should not have to take a shvua. This case of pogemis shvuasa would not eat a pogemis shvuasa would not eat a shvua. O dilma iarume kamarma. Maybe she's being deceptive. Meaning, I know if I'm so specific about the way I claim that the money was paid, maybe it sounds like I'm telling the truth, and therefore we should not believe her, and she still has to take the classic shvua derabanan of pogemes ksuvasa. Gemara ends with teiku. Ibar eluhu. What about pocheses ksuvasa? Mahu. She is pocheses, the value of the ksuva going down. What does that mean? So look at Rashi. Pocheses, says Rashi, about 8-9 lines before it gets wide. This is an interesting case. The ksuva says that the husband owes her 1,000 zuz. That's what the ksuva was. Vehu omer his kabalt kula. And he says, the husband, as in all these cases, I paid you the whole thing, all 1,000 zuz. Vehu omer his Lois Kabalti Klum, you haven't paid me anything. Aval Boda Ani, but she admits, Shiloh, and she admits to him, I'm willing to admit, Shiloh, his Nesa imi l'ksuva si el amana, that you only made a t'nai with me and committed to me mana only 100 zuz. So here is interesting. We'll have to see why the ksuva says 1,000. But she's saying, really, you committed 100 zuz and I was okay with that. But I'm telling you, you haven't paid anything. I'm not asking the 1,000 zuz that's written in the ksuva. I want 100, but because that's what you committed to me, and I was okay with that, even though the ksuva says 1,000. And he's saying, I didn't even pay you that 100, I didn't pay you anything. So that's the question. Do we say this same halacha applies as pogemis ksuvasa? It should be the same halacha. So maybe we'd say, she's making the ksuva worth less value. So she has the emanus, and therefore she should be believed. Odila, or do we say pogemes modya bimitzas? Hello, komodya bimitzas. Or do we say no? One who's pogemes ksuvasa, she, right? Meaning the first question is, hainu pogemes. So the first possibility of the Gemara is, no, we treat her like a pogemes ksuvasa. She needs to take a shvua. That's possibility A. It's the same as any other case. Odilma pogemes modya bimitzas. Or do we say no? Someone who's a pogemes ksuvasa, why has to take a shvua? She's modya bimitzas. She admits to part of the claim. Hello, komodya bimitzas. Here she is not the pocheses, the one woman is devaluing the ksuva, is not admitting to anything. The husband says, I paid you the whole. She says, you didn't pay me anything. So maybe this is very different. Does not have the same status as a pogemes ksuva. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come on, let's see if we can prove it. Pocheses tipara shalo b'shua. Well, pretty clear. A woman who's telling you that the ksuva is less value than what's written there, she can collect without a shua. It sounds like we treat her differently than the pogemes ksuvasa. And she doesn't need a shvua. Ketzad, hoysa ksuvasa elef zuz, exactly the way we're describing it. The ksuva says 1,000 zuz, and evarma lo his kabalt ksuvasech, and the husband says, I paid you the ksuva. V'hi omeres lo his kabalti v'eino elamana. I didn't get anything, but remember, I only committed, so the husband's saying, I paid you everything, I paid the whole 1,000, everything in the ksuva. She says, well, happens to be, we committed and I agreed to 100, and not what's written in the ksuva, but that you haven't paid me at all. Nifras shelo b'shvua. Very clear. She doesn't have to take a shvua. Does not have to take a shvua in this case. So the Gemara wants to know, but my gavya, what exactly? Oh, she's collecting this 100 zuz based on what? Based on the ksuva b'hai shtara. Yeah, because of the ksuva. And what does the ksuva say? The ksuva says the husband owes her $1,000. And she's saying, no, we're only committed to $100. So, hai shtara chasba b'almahu. So the shtar is just a piece of earthenware, a shard of earthenware, meaning it's nothing. That's the language you use. It's meaningless, this shtar. It's a forged shtar. So why would she able to collect anything based on this shtar? She's admitting the shtar doesn't make any sense because the shtar says a thousand zuz, and she's saying the husband doesn't owe her a thousand zuz. So Amar Rava Baderi Duraba Bomeris Amana Haisali Beni Beni Leveno. We're talking about a case where there was Amana, there was some type of trust that they had one with the other. And she says, yes, there was a, it's true, there was a, we had a demand, it was a ksuva of 1,000 zuz, and that was written in the ksuva, no doubt, but we had our own agreement amongst ourselves that he only owed me 100, and that is sufficient. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, b'may gavya afilu ha'umana, even that 100 zuz, with what is she going to use? So, b'hai shtara, with this shtar, well, ha chasva b'almahu, she omeres mezuyava, she says it's for it, and says the Gemara, b'omeres, four lines from the bottom in Rashi, b'omeres amano isabini v'enoshe shtar nechtav v'nechtam kohogen, u'mifnei o'edim, kibir l'alav elav zuz. Yes, we had a shtar, we had a written, a ksuva, in front of Edim, they signed the wedding, thousands of in the ksuva, but who him and be, he believed me. I'm only going to demand and claim from him 100 zuz. Then we move on. The Gemara Mishnah said, "Eda chod miida shiprua." You have a case where the woman, if she wants to collect her ksuva, she needs to take a shvua. If one aid says that it was already paid, she has to take a shvua that it was not paid. So this, we remind ourselves, we spoke about the pogemes ksuvasa. Now we're dealing with the eid echad. So Rami Bar Chama thinks that that's also shvua doraisa. He felt the pogemes is shvua doraisa because it's modem mitzas, and the eid echad is also shvua doraisa, he claims, based on the following pasuk tichsev. Person, you can't have one aid, cannot be established, can't stand up when it comes to any transgression at all. I see that I can't have one aid to make someone liable for any type of punishment. But one aid should be sufficient to require someone to take, one of the litigants to take a shvua. Based on that, the implication of that pasuk, the general principle is based on this brisa that any case where two people can cause someone to be liable to pay money, one person could cause that person to take an oath that indeed that they don't owe that money. So here we have a case. Also, we have, if I had two witnesses that testified that the money had been paid from the ksuva, she can't collect anything. So now that I have one witness, so that should be enough to make her take a shvua. That's a pasuk, that's a shvua doraisus. Amar Rava Shei Tshuvas Bedavar. We had Rava saying a similar thing to the moment of the mitzas. If you look back at Amar Rava, seven lines from the top of the page, he said the same thing regarding that, and he's saying the same thing here as well. Number one, let me tell you why this is not a shvua doraisa, an eid echad. In this case, the cholan is burning shabbat Torah nishbarim lo masham. All people in the Torah, so they take a shvua and they don't pay. Vehi, but this woman nishbas rotel. She's swearing and then she's going to collect the ksuva after that eid echad causes her to swear. So that can't be, that eid echad case cannot be a shvua doraisa. Voted moreover, Einish Bun al Kfira Shibu Karkos, remember that? You can't take a shvua on something, there are no shvuas on karka. And we extended that before, if you remember, that you don't take a shvua on anything where someone denies a claim of money, where there's a potential lien on someone's karka, because that's like taking a shvua on karka, that's what's going to happen. Isn't it true there's a lien on the husband's property? So taking a shvua regarding a ksuva in such a case from this Eid Echad couldn't be a shvua doraisa, because we're speaking about karka, and therefore Ela Amarava Midirabban. On this shvua that the woman takes when an eid echad says the husband paid the whole ksuva already, and she says no, that's only a shvua de rabbanon. For what purpose? Kedei lahafiz dato shel baal, in order to appease the husband. He has one witness that supports his claim that says he paid the ksuva already, and she says he didn't, so she takes a shvua in order to appease him, so he realizes that maybe he forgot, and she's telling the truth.